man since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday.
Tonight, our redemption is drawing near. I couldn't be happier about it, could you? Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Do you love coming to church? Do you love it because it is your life? It is our life. So turn around, shake hands with somebody. Greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Saturday night. Play a little bit of it and sing that second verse. Play it. God bless you. Appreciate you. Jonathan, God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you. Bless you, buddy. Appreciate you. Brother Wes, God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you. Thank you, Lord. Say it, buddy.
There's war and strife on every hand, and violence fills our land. Still, some people doubt.
Oh, yes, they do.
Blessed be the Lord forevermore.
Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Had church here Wednesday night, didn't we? Brother Jewel Forney. That guy's a sight, ain't he? He is a sight. We thank the Lord for him. He's a wonderful brother. Just a wonderful brother. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer requests tonight. This is a request from India. They ask that their names not be mentioned, but they request prayer for their brother. He's missing. He's not been coming home. His cell phone has been turned off. Please pray for him to get back to our home soon. They're asking that we would remember that request tonight. So we just commit that unto the Lord and just ask God to intervene and let his will be done. Brother Baker wants to say that he thanks the Lord for delivering him from a situation in his life. Also healing me on Wednesday night. God is so good. We say amen to that. Praise the Lord. He also wants you to know that his wife, Sister Christine, will be having surgery on the 27th of April. Please keep her in your prayer. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. I want to pray for Lauren Yance. She's been having problems with her knee dislocating, causing a lot of pain and swelling. They're asking that we would remember her tonight. I want to pray for Sister Margie Longoria, having severe back pain. So they're asking that we would continue to remember her. And let's pray for Brother Homer also, their health. They're just neither one and not in great health. But let's just pray that the Lord would be mindful of this. Some precious folks, isn't it? Amen. Jaden Harmon says to please pray for my dad. He's having a lot of pain in his left hip. So let's remember that tonight. Sister Linda Jablonski says that my sister's friend's grandmother has cancer, has asked for prayer. Also, I want to thank the Lord for his touch in my life. So we commit that unto the Lord. Pray that God will be mindful of that situation. Please pray for Sister Clara Moore, that she will be comfortable and little pain. Pray for the family. So let's remember those needs as we pray tonight on behalf of that situation for our sister. If you would remember my wife, Glenda, in prayer tonight, very sick, unable to be in service tonight. So if you would, please remember her in prayer. Also want to pray for Sister Megan Hubbard sends this in. Please pray for Mark. He has nerve damage in his leg. I've never seen him in so much pain. We've tried different things, but nothing seems to give him much relief. Please pray. Help us by praying for the pain to stop and for him to be healed. Thank you so much. May God bless. That's from Sister Megan Hubbard. So we just commit all those needs unto the Lord. If you have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about tonight, could we stand to our feet? Brother David Swanson, would you come tonight? Take us to the Lord in prayer. Let's just commit these things unto the Lord. How many of you know that God is bigger than all of our troubles? We're serving a wonderful risen Savior, aren't we? Brother David, God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Precious Lord Jesus, we're again thankful, Lord. So thankful to come and gather in your house, Lord, together with your people. Just, Lord, we're just, as the world around us seems to be going totally insane, we're so grateful that we come to a place where we're with people that actually have a sound mind. We're actually with brothers and sisters that have the mind of Christ. So, Lord, we just take these positions, these petitions to you, these requests. They've been asked, Lord, in faith, believing that as we gather as a body, two or three are gathered in your midst, that whatever we'd ask, we're just asking for each need here, Lord. May you just meet it according to your riches in Christ Jesus. You know all things, Lord, but you told us to ask in faith, believing, and we do that, Lord. We just pray now that you'd come down in our midst, Lord. Help us, as Brother Louis leads us in singing, help us to put our shoulder to the wheel and just create an atmosphere that when the pastor comes out to preach, that you'll have a free channel to flow through him to us, Lord, to be able to receive. That's so important, Lord, because we can have all the preaching, we can have all the intellect, but it must become faith. It must be revealed to us. So we don't want any hindrances. So help us to lay it all aside now, and may you just come and have your way with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And thank you, Brother David. God bless you. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us tonight in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have each and every one of you here, all those that are streaming. We pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. I want to welcome Sister Dooley. She's been here a week or so from Canada. Brother Jim wasn't able to make this trip with her, but she's here. Stay with Brother Kevin and Sister Susan. Sister Dooley, where are you at? Would you just lift your hand so we can, right over here, give her a real nice hand tonight. God bless you. Just some precious, precious folks, and we're so glad to have her with us for this visit. Just pray that the Lord would just bless her real, real well. Let me make this announcement while you're standing before we get ready to sing tonight. The Happy Valley Youth Banquet is scheduled for Friday, May the 6th, 2016 at 7 p.m. You can pick up the forms in the library this Wednesday night. And while we're on the subject of youth, now if you're graduating, the library doesn't have the first picture, not the first bit of information. So if you're ashamed that you're graduating, just let everything go the way it is right now. We won't have no pictures of you. But please get those in, get pictures, information to the library so that we can show your beautiful faces out in the lobby. All these people will get to see that. And you've got till next Sunday to do that, okay? Get those in. Young people, how many of you are graduating? Let me see your hand. We got one, two. I know we got more than that. Probably some of them not here tonight. You two, get your pictures in here. You've got no excuse now. All right? Give our young people a nice hand tonight. Praise the Lord. We love you. We love you nearly to death, every one of you. And just be give that some attention. Give these brothers time to get everything put together. It takes a lot of work to get all that put together and make it presentable. So please help them by getting everything in on time. I never shall forget the day. How about you? I couldn't tell you the hour. I couldn't really tell you the day, but I know I got changed. I know I got something that I didn't have in my life. Are you glad for that occasion in your life? Are you glad for what God has done for you? Give Him a real big hand clap of praise tonight. You love Him with all your heart. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul rolled away. It made me happy, glad and free. I'll sing and shout it. For He's everything to me. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It makes me happy, glad and free. I'll sing and shout it. For He's everything to me. Long years ago, went out in sin. My soul. to us. Hallelujah. Amen. I know that we've all got our story. We've all got our testimony. No greater testimony I've ever heard than Brother Rob Weber's. They were in denominational systems. Thought they was doing good. And then an eagle screamed one day. And they realized what God was all about, didn't you, Brother Rob? I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. Makes me happy, glad and free. I'll sing and shout it, for He's everything to me. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. Praise the Lord. Amen. Not just to point Brother Rob out, but his testimony blesses me so much to hear him tell it. What God and this, what this message means to their lives. What this message means to all of our lives. Where God has brought you from, where He's brought you to. People dropping off every day. You're still standing. You're still here. You're believing it more than you ever believed it in your life. Is that right? Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. Let it rain. Let's sing Let It Rain. Just before we change the order of the service, I believe Brother Justin, Sister Erica, and Brother Harry give us a song tonight. If they'll come onto the platform, we'll go right on into the service. I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the word of the Lord. But let us sing this song tonight. I know last night we got a little bit of everything. We got some wind. We got some rain. We got some snow. We got some lightning. And I don't know whatever else happened outside. I wasn't out there, but I heard about it. But I want you to know, I hope and pray tonight that you get a real good soaking on your soul tonight. How many of you need just a real good blessing from the Lord? Just a touch. If He'll give you one touch, it'll mean more to you than anything in the world. Let it rain. Let it rain. Say glory. Praise the Lord. I want to pray for Brother Ben Lawson. He got sick during this service and had to go home. So let's remember him tonight as we pray. You can be seated. Thank you so much for your participation tonight. Brother Harry, Brother Justin, Sister Erica, have a song. Give them a nice hand tonight as they get ready to sing.
Couldn't handle on my own. That's how this feels somehow.
If there ever was a child that was crying out for help, that's what this song's about.
Cause if there ever was a time I needed you, Lord, I need you now. And if I've ever had a friend who has always kept his word, Lord, I know it's you. Cause there's never been a time that you've left me all alone, or been untrue. Cause if I know anything, it's that you will meet my need just like you always do.
Appreciate that song, don't we? Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Time to go on into the service. How many of you looking forward to the preaching of the word of the Lord? You want to pray for our pastor tonight? I believe we're going to have a jubilee here tonight. It's camp meeting every time you come around here. How many of you want to be a participant in camp meeting? Well, you've got your chance tonight. Let's worship the Lord and say amen to the word of God. Our God reigns. I believe that with all of my heart tonight. Let's sing it as Brother Donnie gets ready to come bring us the word of the Lord. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. You believe that with all your heart.
Amen.
Even when things ain't going good?
Yes, sir.
When things are troubled all around you and sickness and all kinds of things, you mean He still reigns?
Yes.
Amen. Let's turn to Luke chapter 15, if you would, tonight. Luke chapter 15. Let's begin reading verse 1. We'd like to take another stroll down the gallery of sovereignty. Luke 15:1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. The Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And he spake this parable unto them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" You believe in the sovereignty of God? So do I. But this verse right here does not apply to every mortal on this earth. Only sheep. If the Lord Jesus is going to seek to get every mortal, He will never come back. But He seeks and gets all sheep. Now the Lord Jesus couples together three parables in response to what these Pharisees have said about Him eating with sinners. And we jump from this one of the shepherd and his sheep to verse 8. "Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it?" Amen. Now there's a thread that runs through these three parables, and what it is the mystery of redemption. Verse 22. "But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe Now remember, all of this is conclusive in Jesus' response to what they have said. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. Now listen to Jesus' peculiar response in this form of the parable of the prodigal son. For this my son was a pig? A goat? He was dead. This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost. Are we sure we understand that? What lost really means? Well, I hope you do after tonight and tomorrow, if you don't know. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Praise God. And maybe I'd like to be remembered tonight in prayer. I received a phone call this afternoon from Brother Homer Longoria and Sister Margie. She's really been having a lot of back pain, and she was in such severe pain that she asked Brother Homer if he would call me and ask me to pray for her over the phone. And she was in such pain, she was crying and just asking God to move for her. I texted him just a little bit ago before I come out, said the pain hasn't eased up yet. We believe our God, as we have sung, our God reigns. So your request, what you have need of tonight, it might not be quite as pressing as what hers is, but I believe it's just as important to God. So let's approach our sovereign Father. Lord Jesus, we approach you tonight with thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord, with appreciation for what you've done. We're still thanking you, Lord, for the service we had here Wednesday night. You so come among us, and we appreciate it with all of our hearts. But here we stand again tonight with different needs and more needs. And Lord, we know that actually, depending on how we look at it, the circumstances in our lives, it can be opportunities of faith by which the presence of God in the right channel can display your great power. Lord, we want to join our faith tonight on behalf of Sister Margie. Lord, just asking you that you'd move for her. Also, Brother Homer, Lord, having needs in his body as well. Then, Father, there was hands uplifted all over the building tonight. We're just bringing each of them before you, knowing that you're mindful. And we know that you're the kind of Father that whether it's an urgent situation, whether it's one that is in such severe pain, or it's one, Father, that might not quite be as serious and pressing, but yet it's something that still concerns you. So we pray tonight that you would help us. Then, Lord, as we have this wonderful, precious word that is laying before us, I pray that you would open our hearts tonight. Give us hearts of understanding. May the candle be brought into the room, as it were. May the light be placed upon the dust. May the silver cord of redemption be able to shine through the covering of humanity, that we could see ourselves more clearly in the mystery of God. Grant it, Father, in Jesus' name we pray. And the saints said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Believing that God is sovereign, believing that what God does is sovereign, I believe, according to the scripture and according to the message of the hour, that even the revelation of God is sovereign. That God is not obligated to make himself known just to every individual. that God can make the call of salvation known to the masses and billions of people that will live upon the face of the earth. And he must do that in order to be just. But God is under no requirement of his own law, neither of any standard given by man, by which God is required to reveal himself on the same degree to all humanity. But God is sovereign in the way that he chooses to reveal himself. Now, in this, that means that God can reveal himself in a certain degree to that individual and choose to reveal himself to that one and that one and that one in a complete different degree. That's his own choice. Would it be in correlation of a call that they might have in their life? Could very well be. Could very well be because he chooses to reveal himself to some in a more intimate, closer relationship because they will need that according to what he has called them to become. To others, he has called them in order to sit at his table. They will be privileged to feast on a clear understanding simply because he wants them to have it. Because he is sovereign, and the revelation itself is sovereign. You believe that? In who is Melchizedek? I love the way the prophet says this. And remember, you, your eyes, your statue, whatever you was, you were in his thinking at the beginning. And the only thing that you are is the expression word. After he thought it, he spoke it, and here you are. If it isn't, if you wasn't in his thinking, there's no way at all for you to ever be there, for he is the one that gives eternal life. And remember how we read the scriptures, not him that runneth us or of him that runneth, but God. And that is his predestination might stand true. He could choose before any time. God in his sovereign is his sovereign in his choosing. Did you know that? God is sovereign. Who was back there to tell him a better way to make the world? Who would dare to tell him he was running his business wrong? Now, maybe some of you would, not me. Oh, my. Even the very word itself is sovereign. Even the revelation is sovereign. He reveals it to whom he will. The very revelation is sovereign in God. Now, this displays the sovereignty of God. Now, listen to this. He says, that's how people pound at things, jump at things, and hit at things, not knowing what they're doing. God is sovereign in his works. Let me tell you something, friend. If God has made known to you his word, his mystery, and you are a part of the revelation of God, you ought to be one of the happiest people in the world. Because there are people who pound at things and jump at things and try, and many of them, the truth of it is, this is why that if the elect aren't careful, it will tend to make our flesh somewhat lazy. Because the revelation is so sovereign that it is not us asking and asking and asking and asking and us doing and doing and doing and doing that God gives it to us. God gives it to us because it is a display of his sovereign grace. The matter of fact of it is, the Jehovah Witness and many of these other people out here do a whole lot more for what they believe than you and I do for what we believe. And they pound and they jump and they try to get it, and God by his sovereign grace just opened it up to you, and here you sit and you see it by the grace of God. Now, that should not make us lazy. It should make us so grateful that we're standing here, Lord, what can I do? What little something can I do to express back my appreciation? And the church said, notice this in Future Home. You are a part of the earth, your body. Your soul is a part of God. An attribute attribute of God displayed here on earth in a body, and the body's to be redeemed. Now the soul is redeemed because it was in sin. Now your soul, listen now, the seed of God was not sin, but it was in sin. So God come down by a process of justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, redeemed your soul. Oh, glory to God, redeemed your soul. Again, in Melchizedek, it shows plainly the predestinated is the only one that's considered in redemption. Did you get it? Let me say that again. The predestinated is the only one that's considered in redemption. People might be making like, think they are, but the real redemption is those, oh glory to God, those that are predestinated, because the very word redeem means to bring back. Is that right? To redeem something, to redeem it, is bring it back to the original place. Hallelujah! So it's only the predestinated that will be brought back, because the others didn't come from there. See, brought back, being eternal with Him at the beginning. The eternal life that you had, His thought of what you was. Only He wanted me to stand in the pulpit, say. He wanted you to sit in the seat tonight. Then we are serving His eternal purpose. And the only one that left home, only come to the earth to serve His purpose. Is that right? Alright, then after it's finished, it's brought back in a glorified state. It's matured and brought back again. Amen. Now with that foundation, let us approach Luke 15, verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, no creature strays more easily than a sheep. No creature in all of God's creation can be so turned around as a sheep. No creature has the least sense of direction as does a sheep. That when it is lost, it cannot find its way back home. No animal, hardly at all the creation of God, is made as defenseless as a sheep. A bird can fly, a dog can bite, a horse can kick, a cow can kick. Many, many animals have a defense, but a sheep has none. Because a sheep cannot bite, it will not butt, it will not rear up like a horse. A sheep is defenseless. Oh, glory. Now think, even the fowls of the air, birds, many birds of the ravenous birds will pick on sheep. You realize that a red-tailed hawk can actually pick out the eyes of a sheep. A crow, no bigger than a crow is, though a sheep is bigger and larger in size. But yet a crow or a hawk or many of these smaller birds, well, absolutely, they know the vulnerability that are in sheep. Oh, think of it now. Here the Lord Jesus is going to put up the mystery of redemption in these three parables. Now remember the mystery of redemption. The prophet uses these terms over and over again. The book of mystery, the mystery of redemption, the mysterious powers of God working out. Why would redemption be a mystery? Why would not it just be plain where everybody would understand it? Because the sovereign God chose to reveal mystery, the mystery of redemption, in this way. He chose not to make it where it would be like a newspaper. So what does it mean actually to be lost? I guarantee you that the majority of Christendom would define being lost the wrong way. Probably some of you here tonight would be. You would define when you were lost in a total contrary to the scripture perception. What does it mean, according to the scripture, for a sheep to be lost? What does it mean for the coin to be lost? What does it mean for the prodigal son to be lost? Amen. It does not mean a changing of species. It does not mean that you're one genus or one kind and then you become another kind after you are found. That is not redemption. Now, in the state of the sheep being lost simply means that he was out from the place of safety and protection. It does not mean now that he got in this state and he'd become a snake or he'd become a goat or he'd become some other kind of species, but a sheep being lost means that he's out from under the direct leadership of the shepherd. Is he still a sheep? Does he still belong to the shepherd? Will the shepherd find him? So he is lost, but not eternally lost. It's only a temporary setback. Now, in the view of the parable of the coin was lost, and of course we know that it was a tablet that the woman wore around her head consisting of 10 coins. And the coin was lost. One of them was lost. But where was it lost? It was not lost out here in the world, but the coin, according to the way Jesus set this forth, he said the coin was lost in the house. It was glory. It was lost in the house. But the woman had already owned the coin, as the shepherd had already owned the sheep, as the father had already begat the son. But they were lost. How was the coin lost? It was still a coin. It was still silver. It was actually a drachma. It was a drachma, which wasn't worth that much. So this shows this woman was a poor woman in the eyes of the world. And this was actually as her dowry that was given to her by her father. But yet it was lost. Now, was this still legal tender? It was. Was it still silver? It was. But how was it lost? It was lost in that it had fallen among the dirt in the floor. So this silver had got lost in dust. Glory! It had got lost in the dust of the floor, and the woman, the church, goes to sleeping around and searching for it. But it was lost. How was it lost? Well, because it become dust. The coin never become dust. It got lost in the dust when it fell. Glory! The coin fell. It fell. It fell. And where did it fall into? It fell. It was still a coin of the realm. It was a coin of the dominion. In the case of the younger son, he was lost. What does that mean exactly? That he was a devil? He was not a devil. He was away from his father's fellowship. You see, friend, this is why folks around the message, you know, of all people that don't understand it, it baffles me the most that the people around this message have been around it for years and years and years and still arguing over predestination, still arguing over election and the foreknowledge of God. I can understand people out here not understand, but I don't understand for the life of me why message people don't understand it. And whenever you quote the quote in Fisher Home, you wasn't saved on no certain day. You always was saved. Oh my Lord, some of them, their blood pressure about goes through the roof. And they're about ready to swallow their tongue. Why? They don't understand what the message is even saying. In the eyes of God, you wasn't saved on any certain day. Sure, was you lost? Yes, you was lost. And you had to come to a spot of reconciliation. But in the eyes of God, you always was His. This boy was a boy before he was a gene of this father, before his father was ever even a human being. When he was in his father's father's father, he was inside of him. What was he lost? He was lost away from his father's presence, from his father's blessings, from his father's house. You understand, when you, if you were a sheep of God ordained to life and you was out there drinking and running around, it wasn't that you was a devil and become a son or daughter of God. You was away from your father's table. Hey. You was away from your father's blessing. That's what has been calling you your entire life. That's what pulled on your heart when you was a child. It was the family strain. Oh, glory to God. But you see, sheep are retrievable. The coin was retrievable. The son was retrievable. Oh, glory to God. Notice Jesus says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them? Now, we know, of course, that the shepherd was responsible for every sheep. And if there was a one of them lost, unless that shepherd could prove that a wild animal had killed that sheep, he had to replace it out of his own wages. He was responsible. But this is not a hireling shepherd. Jesus sets forth this parable in the first person. So this shepherd is a shepherd proprietor. A shepherd owner. He ain't working for somebody else. Jesus ain't the second in command working for an old man called his daddy. He is the proprietor of the sheep. Now, notice, so the parable is not speaking of a hired shepherd that will look at it and say, well, you know what, I can't help it, I'll just pay for it. So it costs so many drachma, I'll just pay for it. I can't find the thing, the hard-headed outfit, it's just going out there and doing whatever it wants to do. If it gets eaten up by a lion or coyote, I think that's what it deserves. That's a hireling shepherd. But a real shepherd has the sheep at heart. No matter how much they stray, what they do, how they go away. Now, what, notice this, Jesus says, what man of you having 100 sheep? What man of you having 100 sheep? In other words, this shepherd owns the sheep, and while under his ownership, he loses one of them. So they are Christ's sheep first before they were ever lost. Now notice the mystery of redemption in these 3 parables, and they all tell the exact same story, except the first 2 tell it from a heavenly perspective, and the 3rd one tells it from an earthly perspective, but the thread of redemption runs through all 3 of them, and this is the Redeemer, so he should know how to tell a story. Glory. Now notice, this is not the story. I know it's used a lot for backsliding, and it's been used down through the church ages. Jesus is not telling this about a person that's saved, and then they're in and out of church, and they get cold on God, and they backslide, and they're the sheep that come back. You've got the story completely wrong. Jesus don't call this sheep a backslider. He calls this sheep a sinner. Oh, glory to God. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost? Now, wait a minute, I thought we was talking about sheep. How could a sheep be lost? That's the only thing that is. It is a scar, a mark on a shepherd's character to lose a sheep. But a shepherd can lose all kinds of goats, and it brings no mark upon him at all. That's not his character to take care of goats. Jesus was given 100 sheep. Not 100 sheep, 110 goats and 35 camels and 45 mares and 317 this and that and the other. He was given 100% sheep. The Father never gave Jesus Christ any goats. Only sheep. Yes, sir. Now what? So Jesus, now setting this in the first person, Well, does not he leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost? That which is lost until he find it. Amen. Now this is how determined our shepherd is to get every name that is on the book of redemption. This is why the rapture will not go until every member of the bride is in. And when the resurrection take place, there won't even be a baby left behind that's included in the resurrection. Because the rapture can't take place, the resurrection can't take place, the millennium cannot set in until every sheep is sitting at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now that's not so with every human being. Just the sheep. Once in St. John 17:12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Look at this Greek word now. Reserve, observe, hold fast, to attend to, carefully, to take care of, to guard, metaphorically, to keep one in the state in which he is. While I was in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. But the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So now look at this word watch, or keep rather. It signifies a watchful observation. Guardianship. Guardianship. So I have kept those sheep that you have given to me, and not one of them is perished, but. Now look at this word but. It's a little word, but it's a powerful word. So the word but divides and separates the sheep from this next class he's fixing to mention. I have lost no sheep, Father. I've only lost that which could be lost. Oh my goodness. The son of perdition, oh Lord help us. The son of perdition, the quality expressed by condition is actually comes from the same root word as the word lost. So perdition comes from the same word as being lost. So Father, I've lost none except the son of the lost. I've lost none but the son of the lost. I've lost none but that which could be lost. I've not lost any of yours. I've only lost that which could be lost. Jesus was not saying, I'm sorry this one got away from me. Boy, I tell you, I thought my power was all powerful and everything, but boy, this one got away. It absolutely, hey, the Lord Jesus lose one of his? There ain't no way. I've only lost that which was lost. Eternally. You see, we were lost in Adam. Glory to God. But not lost in Christ. We were lost in Adam, but we were not lost in Jesus. We were lost in the human race, but not lost out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Judas never belonged to Jesus in the first place. Only in a nominal external sense. I'm one of them. I go to church with them. I believe what they believe. I cast out devils. I do this, that, the other. But he was never actually given to Jesus by the Father as a sheep. Glory to God. Judas was not part of the believing group of disciples. So the word but separates him in the contrast. Notice it's a play on words because Jesus actually says the one that perished is the son of perishing. The one that was lost is the son of lostness. The one who was separated was the son of separation. Notice this in St. John 13:17, Jesus speaking about washing the disciples' feet. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture might be fulfilled, he that eateth with bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. You see, it's the same way that the scripture says it in Luke 4:25. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Yet this woman was not a Jew. But if you read the scripture, it sounds like she was a Jew. Look at it again. In verse 27, many lepers are in Israel in the time of Eliezer, which is Elisha, the prophet, and none of them were cleansed save Naaman the Syrian. But yet he puts him in a category of the lepers of Israel. But yet he lived in Syria and was a Syrian. How was he identified with them? They both had the same disease. How was the woman, which was a Gentile, identified with the Jewish woman? She was a widow, but she was not an Israelite. Judas was a man. He was a partaker of the ministry, but he never was a sheep. As Naaman was never an Israelite, but he partook of the same disease, so categorically he was put into the same category, oh hallelujah, as a leper. I was born in sin, amen. I was lost, amen. But I always was a sheep, amen. Categorically, I was lost like the whole world was, but I always was God's inheritance. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, Jesus will not lose one sheep. That ought to make you sheep just about doing everything you can do to keep on your seat tonight. To know the Lord Jesus, if you are a sheep, he will not lose one. But there will be many goats that will come in and out of his flock. What's this in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 4? But it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come. I'm talking about some folks that have walked in a place that is so close to the elect. Listen what these folks experienced. They were once enlightened, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, singular, not gifts. They actually tasted of the Holy Ghost. And were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God. These folks didn't need creeds and dogmas. They actually was able to feed a little bit on the message of the day they lived in. Listen now. And the powers of the world to come, they actually tasted of some of the resurrection and some of the changing of the earth and the seventh day and the eighth day. And they actually experienced some life-changing events. But verse 6, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. But that scripture cannot, never has, or never will apply to sheep. So the Calvinists had it wrong. That's where the Armenians had it wrong. But Malachi 4 had to come right down the middle and set us straight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory. Notice chapter 10 verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto lost perdition. We are not of them. Glory to God. Oh, but Donnie, Peter done wrong. That's exactly right. He cursed and done out. He even knew the Lord Jesus. But he was not Judas. He was not of Judas type. What was Peter? He was a sheep. Always was, always would be. Did he do wrong? Sure, he done wrong. Did he pay for his wrong? Sure, he paid for his wrong. Did he lose his right as the Son of God? Never. We are not of them who draw back into perdition, But of them that believe unto the saving of the soul. 2 Peter 2:24, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse of them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn away from the holy commandment delivered unto them. How many believe this is the truth? But this is not for sheep. Because sheep will not do this. It's impossible. But these people can come in around the sheep. They can bleat like sheep. They can quote sheep things. But they have the potential of eating with the sheep, shouting with the sheep, dancing with the sheep, and backsliding and losing their soul. But not the sheep. It has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog! Notice, not the sheep. The dog is turned to his own vomit. Sheep don't eat vomit. But dogs do. So a lot of these folks has left away from the message and now blasting the very thing they said under this ministry and other ministries under and squall, hallelujah, glory to God, all that too. Why are they? A dog! They went back to their old vomit of worldliness. Praise the Lord. But brother, sister, there ain't no sheep gonna do no such a thing. Now I'm not saying some of them out there cannot be in a delusion and cannot come back to God, but the end of a sheep is not vomit eating. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again. And the sow. Notice, not sheep. Dogs and hogs. So the old sow come into church and she sat down and we cleaned her up a little bit and we washed her and we give her a good bath and Malachi 4 water. We preached to her about, you know, pulling her dress down over her knees, and we tried to preach to that man about getting rid of whatever more in his life, and he sat down with his big long snout for all they hear. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. But then after a while, they go to looking, I don't know about this. I've been going over here to this website. Yeah, that's what hogs do. They go from one website eating slop after another bunch of slop. Isn't it amazing these folks pulling away from the Word? They don't come to anointed men of God and sit down and talk to them about the questions. They go to more hogs and dogs. They don't come and sit down to a man of God who's given his life for studying the Word. But they gather with more hogs in the pig pen and more dogs around the vomit pile. Well, I'm going to preach the whistle without you. But can you imagine a sheep going... No, pig said, hey, come on over here. We found all these mistakes. Hey, come on over here. We can't see where this come to pass and that come to pass. You realize some of these folks are doing what they're doing today in the days of the Lord Jesus had been standing right there, said, if you're the Son of God, come off the cross. They're anointed with the same devils. And I did say devil, it ain't the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Come on, children. You might as well say amen. If you're sheep, bow a little bit every now and then. Let the Lord know whose side you're on. Oh, my. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed. The sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. But notice she was not separated from her nature, because Peter says it was her wallowing. Her wallowing. Always was a pig. Never was a sheep to begin with. So Jesus ain't dealing with them in these three parables. Because it's a mystery of redemption. Now he says again in Luke 15:4, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them. But now remember, they were his in the first place. And he lost one of them sheep. Now, folks who say that predestination, election, and all that's not in the Bible, they need to reread their Bible, don't they? Having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness. Now, I want you to notice here, it's not the sheep looking for the shepherd. It was the sheep's free moral agency that got him in this trouble. It's going to take sovereignty to get him out. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't you understand, children? Brother Jewel preached it here the other night about Mary. I saw at the end of the service whenever the Mary had said what she did and the angel of God come down, Mary, you found great favor in the eyes of God. It was not Mary consenting that she would be Isaiah 7:14. She was already Isaiah 7:14. But Mary's will must surrender to the written will of God. And that's why she said, be it unto me according to thy word. She was already chosen before she ever said that. She was ordained before she ever said it. So were you. You were sheep in the mind of God, and you were lost. But you were still sheep. So what does he do? He leaves the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost. How long, Lord Jesus? How long, Lord Jesus? Until he find it. Now remember, this is not every mortal that comes on the earth, or he would never come back. He couldn't. In our minds, we think, when will the rapture come and how will it be there? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Brother Donnie, what about our children? Don't worry about your children. Our God is a just and a loving God. You say, I've got little children and they're not the age of accountability. If their name is on that book of life, they'll go just like you go. I don't want to leave my baby behind. Don't you worry about that. Our God is a merciful and a loving God. He's made a provision for that already. Notice, the shepherd don't say, well, I'll tell you one thing, he done it to himself, let him go ahead and do it. I don't care about them, they wore me out, they burdened me down, they've caused me all of these problems. He says, I will seek it until I find it, and I will bring it back home. Back home? The shepherd don't look at how tired he is. He don't look at how exhausted he is. He don't look at how weary he is. His goal is that sheep. What's this in the rising of the sun? He come to redeem or to bring to life those predestinated seed that God seen before the foundation of the world and put their name on the book of life. And here they are on earth without a hope. He came not only to be the blessing, but to share the blessing with every predestinated seed. Now, if the seed wasn't on the earth, it could not live. It had to be on the earth and also germinized. No matter how long it's kept in darkness, glory to God, it'll come forth when the S-O-N shines upon it. Notice now, he come to share it with us. Again, the rising of the sun. When God raised Jesus from the dead, he raised you up also. And also quickened the life of him. You are now quickened to life. Although then you were but an attribute in his thoughts.
But God saw, oh hallelujah, God saw all in him at the finish, and God looked down on that body, and the Spirit left him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had to die a man. Remember, friends, he didn't have to do that. That was God. God anointed that flesh. It was human flesh. And he'd have went up there as God. He'd never die. Don't you understand the sonship? If he'd went up there as God, the eternal Spirit, he could never have died. That's why he must come into human flesh and be called a son. And the Son was what died. It was the same Father acting out the part of humanity.
Thank you, Lord.
But remember, he went there with you in him. God had never separated the bride from the groom yet. So when God looked down upon the body of Christ, he saw both male and female. It was all redeemed in that one body, see? They are all one, same word. Same word that spoke of the groom speaks of the bride. And when God looks upon that body, what does he see? He sees the same thing he saw when he looked at Adam. When he looked at Adam, he saw Eve still in him. And if she would have been in him, she would have never failed. And when God looked at Jesus, he looked at the shepherd and the sheep. And that part that was in Christ could never fall. So you was born what? Lost in the floor of the earth. The dust of the cabin of humanity. But guess what? That coin that fell off that woman's tablet. Lord, help me to be able to say it and not fly away. The coin that fell off of that woman's tablet around her neck. Every one of them coins was coins of the realm. And they had the image and the superscription of the king. They had the image and the superscription of the king. In order for them to be legal. Oh, glory to God. If that was a coin of the realm, it had to have the image of the king on it. It was lost in the dust of humanity, but it still had the image of the king impressed upon it.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Man, I was trying to keep from saying that. Watch this, I'm proving his word. It gives us identification to know that this people, the chosen, elected, called out, predestinated. That's a big word, predestinated, but we all know that it's the truth. We absolutely know that the infinite God predestinated all things by foreknowledge before the foundation of the world. Even the Lamb was slain. Every name that was put on the book was put on the book before the book was ever written. Do you honestly think you're going to get raptured in faith by holding on to your Armenian view? Ruth, you must look into the book of mystery and see who you are. The rabbis say Ruth was 40 and Boaz was 80. When she married him, it was her destiny to marry the Ancient of Days. Jesus come to redeem those that was in the book. In the Bible, the Lamb came from behind the curtain and taken the book and opened the seals that were sealed before he came to claim all that he redeemed. He's the intercessor now, and making intercession for those who he has redeemed. Now look at this. This is 1965. So for those of you who think it was over in 63, you better catch up. Think in man's filter, then that shows in you. Was that predestinated seed down in you? That makes you hunger for God. It was the coin that was lost that was making you hunger for God. It wasn't you. It wasn't what you want to take credit for. I said, I've got the hunger for God. I tell you what, I made up my mind. That wasn't you. It was the image on the silver coin. It was the image of the mind of the Redeemer. In you was that predestinated seed down on you that makes you hunger for God. All the Father has given me will come. He has given me to redeem. They died with me at Calvary. They were raised with me in the resurrection. All that He has given me will come to me. They'll be placed in the body, whether foot, arm, nose, mouth, whatever it is. And they'll be placed in there. Oh my. They will come to me in their seasons. Children, this is our season. Many of you have been sitting around this message for 25, 30, and 40 years, and I'm hearing it over and over again, not only from you, but from people streaming in these services and on the internet, that they're seeing who they are. You know why? This is your time. This is your season. For some of you, it wasn't 5 years ago. It wasn't 10 years ago. You saw a little bit more about you. All I can say is, body, get ready. Because before long, when I go to seeing who I am, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to lead my body to a body change. My body ain't going to be able to take this revelation much longer. Don't feel like. Notice this question and answer is on the seals. He came and the ones that was predestinated to eternal life was the ones that received Him. It had been no good to say anything to the rest of them, because He could not have redeemed them, because they wasn't even redeemable. Redeemable and savable are two different things. If you had a son in the book of Leviticus, that son needed to be redeemed. The firstborn of every family had to be redeemed because God claimed them as His own. Everything that broke the matrix was God's by claim. But God said, I will substitute the tribe of Levi and they will stand in your stead. But you've got to redeem that son. So you've got to bring the redemption money to the house of God. Guess what currency was used for redemption money? Silver. Guess what the sockets were made out of that held the pillars? Silver. Guess what the cherubims and part of the things on Solomon's chariot and the pillars that was made on Solomon's chariot, guess what they was made out of? Silver. Silver is the metal of redemption. Are these out here redeemable? Not in the scriptural sense of redemption. Are they savable? Now you're talking about a different plan. Bring a Hittite up to the tabernacle and say, I want to redeem this. Is this your son? No. He's a Hittite boy that lives over here in the foreign camp. I'm sorry, he's not redeemable. Has to be an Israelite. But there's a court of the Gentiles where he might be saved. Redemption was for the elect. Yes, Lord have mercy, children. Is anybody seeing what I'm talking about? Why was it then those priests stood there when he had to come to the spot? Because the predestinated was plotted out there all around. The predestinated was plotted out all around. So he had to preach to them as a group. And the great scholars that should have known him said, this man is Beelzebub. We'll not have this man rule over us. But a little old prostitute
with a life in her predestinated to eternal life. And her name is immortally in the Word of God. Now let me ask you one simple question. What is her name? Hello? Testing 1, 2, 3. I've never found a theologian. I've never found a historian. I've never found the church age revealer. I've never found the man of the age or the man in the line or coming on down that could give me her name. So is it her name that's important or her name that's important? Read the account of Genesis 24 and find when Abraham sends his servant down to get the bride for Isaac, that servant's name is never mentioned. It's his office that's mentioned. That's why I refuse to worship Brother Branham. God sent Brother Branham to tell us the truth, not to bow down before him and worship him. He was a human being that needed salvation just like you and I. He was a human being that made mistakes as a man. Amen. Oh, come on, don't get quiet on me. Amen. Oh, Brother Donnie, don't say that. Why? It's the truth. I read this week where the prophet of God said Joshua looked at Moses and he stood right with Moses and his mistakes because his mistakes meant nothing to God. We plastered and tried to whitewash this message. It ain't no wonder some of these folks have turned away by some of the knot-headed preachers they've sat under that tried to make Brother Branham infallible and perfect. We did not need an infallible prophet. We needed an infallible God. We didn't need a perfect prophet that didn't make mistakes. We needed a perfect God. I read Brother Branham's blunders. I read his misquotings of Scripture. Don't that turn you away? Not at all. No more than if I'd stood in the days of Moses and it turned struck to rock. I said, you false prophet, you. I'd have stood right with him just like Joshua did down to the very end. Why? I'm a sheep. Him right there. Go on, yo goat. Go on back to your vomit, your barking dog. Can I go on a little bit? What's a prophet said? She was predestinated to eternal life. Her name is immortal in the Word of God here. Her name is immortally in the Word of God, and none of you don't even know it, nor do I. But her name, her character, her God name. Everywhere this gospel has been preached, this woman at the well has been used as an example. As a matter of fact, every time you type in predestinated Satan the message, you'll find the prophet of God using this woman right here more than any other character in Scripture. Why? Because her name is written immortally in the Word of God. Her human name, her divine name, the character of the Word. This is what you find in the Word. We say, oh, I found my name in the book, Donnie Reagan. That's not what I found. I found me, my name. My character, my identity. That's what I'm seeing when in there I'm looking for my name in the book. That's what I've found. Amen. Let's see if we can find a place to close. So the shepherd has this flock of 100 sheep. He's watching and they're milling around. And this one maybe just pops over a rise, just momentarily like this, and goes down on the other side. Shepherd begins to look around. 6, 7, 98, 99. One of my sheep are lost. So he has under shepherds, shepherd proprietors with this large of a flock would have under shepherds working under him. So he don't send the under shepherd. He goes himself. Thank God for prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, but there wasn't no pastor hanging on the cross. There wasn't no evangelist. There wasn't no under shepherd. It was the shepherd himself. So the shepherd comes out. Every one of these shepherds knew these sheep by name. So he'd call them by name. That was a video that was sent out, I got it maybe 4 or 5 months ago, 6 months ago, something like that. Kind of made its way around the message. And it was a display of these tourists. You've seen it maybe. And they were standing there. Here was a bunch of sheep out on the field. And different, these tourists was, hey. So it was black and white and different races of them and men and women and children and all that. Them sheep just stood right there and they never paid a bit more attention to them than nothing. All of a sudden, here come the shepherd into the field. And when the shepherd went to calling, they heard their names.
Oh, yeah.
And as soon as the shepherd started calling, all them sheep started rallying around the shepherd. And here's all these people, they're just rejoicing and going on. Because all this screaming, all this noise, and all the seventh thunder revival, and the bride's revival about this revival, and we've all got to get connected to Trinidad, and we've all got to get connected over here and over there. All that, the sheep never paid no attention. They just kept feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. But all of a sudden, the shepherd come into the field, and every one of them rallied right around the shepherd. So he looks, and he looks, and he goes to call. Every one of them had their own call by which the shepherd would relate. Now remember, when this man would become a shepherd, his sheep had a brand. And the shepherd himself would take the branding iron and they'd lay his hand down. And they would put the same brand in his hand that was on the sheep. Hallelujah. Don't you understand why your shepherd had to be branded? Glory to God. But here he finally hunts and he searches and he finds him. Now what's Jesus? How he relates this in verse 5. When the seeking has now ended. Now the saving manifestation kicks in. So now the seeking has stopped. And salvation now appears. And when he has found it, it never found him. And when he found it, oh God, I'll tell you what, thank God. I need you, Lord. I'll tell you what, thank God. I'll grab a hold of the horns of the altar, and Lord, I'll tell you. He found it. He's fixing to do something so mean. Terrible! Terrible! He's going to save this sheep and not even ask him for his permission. Because you see, real sheep aren't Armenian. Oh, that's a good Lord. So he finds it in the brambles of the briars in the nature of sin. And remember, this is not a backslider in the sense of coming to God and then going in and out. This is a lost sinner sheep. You see why it's hard for you to comprehend that? Tradition is still gripping your belief. And when he has found it, he layeth it on his shoulders. You see, he don't come and rescue it and then say, now you follow me back home. You get behind me here. He don't pick it up out of the pit of sin and set it up on its own legs. But he reaches down and gets it. And picks it up. What is this? Sovereignty. And he don't ask the sheep, is this okay with you? Could I have your written consent to save you? He's a savior. This is what he does. And I'm a sheep. I need saving. This is what I do. He don't lead it. Neither does he put it in front of him and drive it. But through one more great act of condescension, he stoops down and picks the sheep up and raises the sheep and sets it upon his shoulders, and the sheep's head is higher than his own. You imagine when the other sheep and the under shepherds, and they see him as he crests the hill, and what do they see first? They see the sheep's head. Because the sheep is sitting up on top of his head. And the sheep is actually sitting higher than he is. So here's the sheep in this act of condescension. And the sheep is riding, resting on his shoulders. Look at the passiveness involved in the salvation of this sheep. What's he done so far? Nothing! The sheep hasn't screamed. The sheep hasn't begged for mercy. The sheep isn't down the altar beating on the altar. The sheep isn't fasting. It isn't praying. Look at this passiveness of the sheep. It's overwhelmed by sovereignty. So the shepherd comes, and through the act of condescension, he reaches down. Maybe has to lead the sheep down and calm him down. He's got brambles and briars and thorns and whatever more. And maybe those are piercing him. And he's, oh, he takes his hand. Shh. The little sheep is quivering and shaking. Now the little sheep could say, I'm so sorry. I'm
so sorry. I caused you so much trouble. Forgive me. Forgive me. I'm so sorry. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. You were mine. You were mine. The sheep's inability. The sheep's weakness is displayed. What is it? It's an uplifting action of the Redeemer. Even if the shepherd would get down and say, jump up on my neck. The sheep couldn't even do that. The sheep hasn't cried for him. The sheep hasn't waited for him. The sheep hasn't screamed for him. He's passive in the whole work of redemption. The sheep rides while the shepherd is the burden bearer. This power that saved him, he's riding this power back on. This power that Rebecca watered at the well that day is the same power that carried her back home. This power that you water and give praise to the Holy Ghost, that same power is going to change your body and carry you back home. Let me close. When he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders. Look at this word. Rejoicing. Not rebuking. Not upbraiding. Not chastising. Rejoicing. No wonder Jesus goes on to say, and we'll look at this in the morning, that Jesus says, there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents than 99 just persons which need no repentance. I thought we were talking about a sheep. You mean Jesus called this lost sheep a sinner? Don't you see, friends, these parables are the mystery of redemption. This is not a backslider that's got out of church. This is you. This was me. A sinner. He was so consumed with saving you. And once he got you, it released something within the saving shepherd. And now all he wanted to do was rejoice. Can you imagine his love being so singular? Now this one sheep is individualized, of course, but it represents all the elect of God. Let's stand. His whole being is so consumed in this work. He rejoices. He lays the sheep upon his shoulders. They're not even home yet, but he knows they will be. So he starts rejoicing before the gates ever fling open. The one source of joy was not the streets of gold, not the gates of pearl, the retrieved lost sheep. The same thread of the mystery of redemption runs through the lost coin. Jesus says when he comes back, he says to his friends and neighbors, come rejoice with me. I found my sheep. The woman loses the coin. She gets the light. She sweeps through the whole house. She finds the coin. She calls her friends and neighbors. Come rejoice with me. I found my coin. The prodigal son comes to himself. Tell me how that's possible without divine intervention. There ain't no way for you to come to yourself. And what did the father say? Let's rejoice. My son was dead, but he's alive. My son was lost. This is the way the bride was lost. Lost on the floor of the cabin of humanity. Shuffled among the particles of dust. Lost. But you still had the image of the King. You came from the mint. This is the way they knew it was real. They were manufactured from the authoritative mint. So they know it was legal currency. It was legal, Brother Jerry. He was lost. He was out of circulation. But you're still real. So what did the church do? The church got a broom and started sweeping. Sweeping. Until she found that coin. Children, don't stop praying for your family. Don't stop praying for the lost. Look, we're not trying to go out here and sell this message, not newspapers. We're not trying to go out and, you know, that's not the way we're to do this message. You won't show me that's where Jesus ever done it. You'll not show me that's where the prophet did. Be led of the Spirit of God to share this light. Be led of the Spirit of God to share this light. This is not a whosoever will type of message. We're looking for coins. We're looking for sheep. Glory! Hallelujah. Let me stop. I know I've run it long tonight, and guess what? I ain't even going to apologize. We've been on a treasure hunt tonight. We've been on a worldwide search for sheep. For sheep. For the lost coin. For the wayward son. Praise God. Don't you love him? I'm glad he's got this way because I could have been the last one. Aren't you glad he's got this way about one? What if that last one was you? Would you want all the rest of us to go on? What if I'm ready for 15 years? Ready for the rapture for 15 years. All I need is just a little fine honing. And I'm waiting on some of you because you're still fooling around with cigarettes and you're still fooling around with things I hear in the world. And I've got to wait on you. Some of the rest has got to wait on you. I'm glad he done it that way. What if it's reversed? What if you was ready and I was the one fooling around with cigarettes or fooling around with something else out yonder? I'm glad he'll hold this whole body back for one sheep. Praise God. So the sheep rides and the shepherd bears the burden. The sheep rest and the shepherd feels the load. The sheep is consoled. And now that all this has happened, now the shepherd can rejoice. I hope you don't think I'm nuts. But the book of Zephaniah says, God sings over you. God sings over you. As a bridegroom rejoiceth over his bride, so even I rejoice over my people.
rejoices. You think you've been longing to see him. Your anticipation is nothing compared to his. He has been waiting since the foundation of the world for your rapture. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord. Help us to be able to see it, Lord Jesus. Lord God, I ask you tonight, Father, pull the scales back. May we take the little light that we have. May it illuminate this dark room that we're in. May it pull back the mystery of the dust, that we can see the King's image on the coin. May the dust of humanity be swept away by the broom of the gospel. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, sweep us, search us, oh God. Reveal to us who we are, or that we can look past the dust of our humanity. As you stood that day and they tried to tempt you and they said, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? And you said, give me a coin. You said, whose image and subscription is on this? They said, Caesar. You said, render unto Caesar what Caesar's, and unto God what's God's. Then you come and use this parable of a coin. A coin used in currency. For in the Greek, we know it was the woman had 10 drachma. And the drachma was a common currency. Glory to God. So it must have the King's image on it. Even though it was lost, it still had it. Glory to God. But it was lost. She couldn't spend it. She couldn't use it. But it was lost. In the house. Glory. Lord Jesus. If there's one here tonight that's lost in this house, may the Spirit of God help us as the woman with the broom. May we take the light and sweep the floor. Now imagine, Lord, it made a mess when she started sweeping and the dust was flying in the light. But sometimes you got to make things worse to make them better. Praise God. It wasn't the coin screaming for deliverance. It wasn't the coin trying to save itself. It was the woman who found the coin. Showing us the bride will be used in the mystery of redemption. For Paul says it is the church that is the ground support and the pillar of the truth. Not the truth being the support pillar of the church. I know it's hard for us to swallow. But before you ever sent the message, the bride was in your mind. And the message is sent to get the bride. And when we're all sitting there around you in eternity, we'll not be sitting there discussing and debating the message back and forth about serpent seed and this and that. We'll be discussing deity, both yours and ours. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, speak to us tonight, Father. We rejoice in you tonight, Lord God. Oh, Papa, I was lost. But you stooped down as I was a little 12-year-old boy. You found me in that little highway holiness church. You stooped down at the altar that day in my ignorance. And you reached down and picked me up on your shoulders. Started toting me back home. It's been a long journey. I've made a lot of mistakes and fell many times along the way. But I'm still on my way back home. I'm rejoicing because I got saved. And you're rejoicing because you saved me. So it means we're both happy. Glory. Let's just raise our hands in the presence of the King tonight, can we, saints? Praise be to God. Can't you see? You wasn't a dog turned to a sheep. You wasn't a wolf turned to a sheep. You wasn't a hog turned to a sheep. You always was a sheep. But Brother Donnie, I was lost. Sure, you was lost. You was lost out there in the field of humanity. But you was always a sheep. You was a coin in the dust. But you was a coin. Praise God. Oh, Jesus. We bless your name, Lord. Pull back the veil, Lord, of tradition. Help us to see who we are, Lord. Hallelujah. Ruth must have begun to see herself in the mystery of redemption. Ruth had to look at herself beyond being a Moabitess, which the rabbis say that Orpah was not only her sister-in-law, but her sister. And they descended from Balaam. So she sure had a lot against her. But she had more for her than she had against her. But she had to see her identity in the book of redemption to see that she was redeemable. Praise God. Oh, Jesus, we bless your name tonight, Lord. I ain't no hog that's been washed. I ain't going back to no mire, because I wasn't no hog in the first place. I might have been out there wallowing around with them, but I never did like it the whole time I was there. Hallelujah. I might have been sitting in the old hen house with the hens, but I never was a hen. Glory to God. I was hatched out under a Pentecostal hen, but I never could crow like the old rooster, because I always was an eagle. I always was one of yours. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you grateful tonight, children? Are you grateful we're on our way back home? Look at where you are. You're riding right on the shoulders of the King. There ain't enough devils out of hell to pull you off of his shoulders. Glory to God. You're in the safest place you can be. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's just rejoice in him a little. Hey, you got something on your heart? Let's just sing together a little bit. My, let's just rejoice in the presence of the King. Why would we want to spend all of our time thinking about them old drinking days and going, boy, I remember and I used to smoke and I, why in the world you want to remember all that garbage? We're redeemed from that stuff. Amen. Let's not talk about, boy, them good old times we used to have. You ought to be having a whole lot better times now than you ever had out there in the world. You're on the shoulders of the shepherd himself, leading you straight into the gates of paradise. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, Jesus. Come on, little sheepies. Let's rejoice in the presence of our King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Lord God. Lord God. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
And the space.
And there's
on love.
Glory!
Oh, then the ocean is dry, and there's no stars in the sky.
Oh, hallelujah!
It can't fly.
We thank you tonight, Lord.
In heavens,
heavens and there's no feeling quite like this.
Oh God, I worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. I worship you, Lord God. Hallelujah.
He left the splendor of heaven, oh, knowing his destiny was the lonely hill of Golgotha.
You see, all men are not redeemable, and some men are not savable. But the elect are electable, and redeemable, and savable, and bridable. Only the redeemed can be redeemed. So there's some people that can be saved that cannot be redeemed, and some cannot be saved. They're not even savable. Glory to God. Oh, how does it feel? Just to tell me, would you? Tell me. How does it feel? Riding on the shoulders of your shepherd king. Does it feel safe? Does it feel wonderful in this hour of turmoil? Riding on the shepherd's shoulders. Knowing that there ain't a devil out of hell. Can you imagine any devil removing you from there? What sickness, what power, what devil, what enemy could ever pull you away? When the shepherd's hands, which by the way has the engraving of the brand on you, and also your name is engraved on his hands. And that's what's holding you. And here you are bobbing up and down. You're just rejoicing as the shepherd is walking. He's rejoicing that you're saved, and you're rejoicing that you saved. Hallelujah. And when they get back, to friends and the neighbors is going to have a revival. I mean, it's time to rejoice.
Glory, why? The sheep are saved. The sheep are saved.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray in my poor, feeble way.
I pray I've made it understandable tonight. I pray that you'd take my mistakes, Lord, my inability. Lord, put it together for them, would you? Make it real to them, Lord. Lord Jesus, I thank you tonight that I'm redeemed. I'm riding on the shoulders of my shepherd king. I'm rejoicing as I hear you sing love songs about me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. I worship you tonight, Lord. I thank you. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name. Go with us, Lord. Bring us back in the morning. May our hearts be open, fallow ground by which we can receive this great predestinated mystery of redemption. Soon, Lord, soon, our bodies will follow this trait of redemption. And they too will be redeemed. Praise God. Go with us now, Lord. Bring us back, I pray. We're leaving here tonight, Lord, or at least I am, saying like those on the way to Emmaus, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked to us along the way? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. The world is still rejoicing over your crucifixion. They're still rejoicing over your resurrection, even though they understand very little about it. Because to them it's a past event. To us, it's an ongoing event. We know that the bride was hidden the groom before Calvary. But since Calvary, the bridegroom has been hidden the bride. The mystery has been reversed. The church will never see it. It's not given to them to see it. They're savable, but not redeemable. But Ruth has to find herself in the book. So as the pages come open, what name does she find? Hers connected with Boaz. Wasn't no problem for Boaz to take a Gentile since his genealogy come from Rahab. Glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The church will see themselves saved. They'll rejoice. Oh, they'll jump and shout, and many of them will wave banners that day of, oh, we were saved, we were saved. But the sheep will stand there and look deeper into the mystery and say, we wasn't saved at Calvary. We wasn't saved on Easter. We always were saved. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Go with us now, Lord. May we gather tomorrow, Lord, not just here in this building. May we gather in the house of redemption. The house of redemption. But the house the woman was in was the house of redemption. Glory to God. Our hearts have burned within us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're not just pointing back to what you've done. That's man's way. He thanks God for what you've done, looking forward to what you're going to do, and ignoring what you're doing. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what you're doing, what you're going to do. We are living in what you are doing. We are the manifestation of what is going on in this hour. Amen. Praise God. Let's sing together as we go. Why didn't we recognize? And then we'll get through the historical part and we'll bring it up to date and sing where we are right here tonight. Glory. The day before yesterday they crucified my Lord, made him unmercifully and nailed him to a tree. The sky grew dark and the earth began to
I'm
imagine the prophet of God saying it this way? The coming of the Lord is a sudden secret going away. So the coming is a going. The coming is a going. I don't even make any sense humanly. It does if you understand it. The coming is a going. Because the coming has already happened, which is what's empowering you to go. The coming is already in succession. It's going on. The coming of the Lord is a sudden circuit going away, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a message. That's what we're feeding on tonight, the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. So the coming of the Lord is a going. So the church world looking for a coming, they've already missed that aspect. What is the coming of the Lord? A sudden secret going away. Shh. Romeo.
That's right.
Shh. Romeo lets the ladder fall over against the window. It's only Juliet's window. And Juliet is ready. So Juliet comes and raises up the window. He said, shh, it's the seventh seal. It's the third Paul.
Amen.
It's a secret. Oh, I mean, Lord, I thought the coming is you going. Oh, you mean so the coming is not just you coming, it's you coming and us leaving. That's it. The coming is us leaving. The devil's like, where'd he go? The coming of the Lord was like, whew, think of it, missing people. And they can't find you no more. And you're getting together with the rest of the group and you come up missing on the earth. Glory to God. Would you all go home so I can quit preaching? Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Don't you understand the little boy going to the city, looking into the mirror of the word? The going was a coming. Going to the city was him coming to himself. So he went to the city and looked behind the door and he'd never seen a mirror. So the going was a coming. Melchizedek going to Abraham was the Abraham coming to the estate that got him out of Elion. The going was a coming. Oh my Lord. Go home. God bless you. I love you. Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me. Oh, what joy to share.
We'll be when the saints shall ride, headed for that jubilee yonder in the sky. Oh, what sing, oh, what shout. Shall rise. Oh, what glory. Hallelujah. When we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Seems that now I almost see all the sainted dead rising for that jubilee that is just ahead. In the twinkling of an eye, change within to be. All the living saints to fly to that jubilee. Oh, what singing. Oh, what shouting. On that happy morning shall rise. Oh, what glory. Hallelujah. When we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. When with all that heavenly host we began to sing. We're singing in the Holy Ghost. How the heavens will ring. Millions there will join the song. With them we shall be praising Christ through ages long in heaven's jubilee. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory. Hallelujah. When we meet our blessed Savior in the skies. Oh, what singing. Shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory. Hallelujah. When we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Oh, what singing. Oh, what shouting. Seems that now I almost see all the sainted dead rising for that jubilee that is just ahead. In the twinkling of an eye, change with them to be. All the living saints will fly to that jubilee. Oh, what seems.